Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Here are some facts I found a bit of a shock, especially in the light of my wife being the smartest person in our house when it comes to finances. Women have lower financial literacy levels than men and much less saving. 52% of women find dealing with money overwhelming. 25% of women have absolutely no savings for retirement. One in four. Which is why we're joined by Zoe Lamont, a former farm girl in Wagga turned humanitarian volunteer, entrepreneur, and the creator of a program to reverse this trend. 10,000 Girl was born in a pub with some friends and has now rewired the financial lives of thousands of women around Australia. Zoe, thank you for your time. You've served around the globe. What brought you back to focus on Australian women's financial literacy?
Yes, I often laugh that my life is a bit of a dog's breakfast story, but I'd actually spent a couple of years doing humanitarian work, so working all over the world in India and Africa and Burma. And when I came back to Australia, I just was overwhelmed with the amount of resources that we have here, but the lack, I suppose, you know, hearing my girlfriends on the weekend say, oh, I don't have enough money to, you know, go out or do something. I'm like, oh my gosh, we have so much money. Obviously, that time in Burma where you realize that, you know, such small amounts of money can go so far, like to educate a child and to change a whole family's life. And then you flip it and you come to Australia and people lose the value sometimes of $100 or... And then I had this experience with this Canberra businesswoman who had obviously, like so many small business owners, worked so hard throughout her life but hadn't necessarily been planning her personal finances along the way. And so as she started to burn out a bit at the end of her career, she was left having to, in her retirement, having to sell her house to live on that cash flow. And, you know, they were, her and her husband were off to live in a caravan. So I was thinking, how can this happen to women especially, but anyone who works hard throughout their life? And it just kept on coming back that it's around education and perspective. And I always share those two stories because it shows that with different education and with different support throughout our lives, we can create, you know, quite different futures for ourselves. And the other important thing is living in quite a resourced country like Australia, we need to be open-minded about the perspectives of how people right around the world live. And that's why we link the program to microfinance and show what $100 can do. So every 10 or so women who go through the program in Australia donate a microloan, and so they can see that as they increase their own capacity in their own lives, their capacity to help others increases as well.
I know plenty of guys, Zoe, who are financial illiterates as well. Mm. The 10,000 Girl Project is targeted specifically at women. Why target women when universally we all need to know more about finances?
Oh, we get asked this all the time, Dwayne. So I suppose the 10,000 Girl campaign started with women because it was me and my girlfriends. And I suppose we were finding that a couple of us were having conversations with our, you know, male friends and family, but we weren't necessarily having it with our girlfriends. And so it was an attempt to bring finance onto the table socially. And so the boys talk about the stock market at the pub. Why are we only talking about boys? And so making, trying to bring those sort of everyday money conversations so we can start learning from each other. And over it, there's been a few times where we're like, oh, should we expand it to boys? But actually you get this really raw, open, honest, non-judgmental communication and conversation happening when it's a group of women. So I've actually, set up a different organisation called Future Map that is, you know, gender, you know, it's not specific to genders, and we're rolling those sort of fun financial wellbeing programs out through workplaces. And so it's definitely an attempt at providing an independent forum for people to talk about money and financially educate themselves. I see all the time women come to our programs and they know deep down they need to do something, but they don't know how what where or when to even begin. And I think that once you start by saying, okay, next session, bring in those super envelopes, and we open them up and we have a laugh that some people have 15 and some people have 8, and we make light of it and then get interested in the pie charts. And once then people get that actually, you know, so many financial concepts are just sort of common sense and transferable to concepts that we already know and understand and use throughout our lives, but there's just this sort of, I don't know, this social blanket, it seems sometimes, that separate people, that people separate themselves from the finance. I think a lot to do with the financial services industry can build complexity, where I think as a whole society, and I think the financial services industry is coming on board as well, we need to simplify the language and simplify the concept so people can understand that it's just one piece of the pie of our lives rather than, you know, a whole separate pile in the too hard basket.
So, Zoe, once the ice is broken and we take the envelopes out of the bottom drawer, what else goes on in a program like yours?
Yeah, so we've got a couple of different options. And in the major cities, we run just sort of mini workshops in the evenings, often at pubs or community centres, and so people are welcome to come to those. You can just register on the website. And then we started getting a lot of feedback about, you know, people wanting some ongoing support. So we've set up a program called GIGS, Girl Investment Groups, and you can get a group of 6 to 8 friends together, and we post your program materials out, and you get access to an online sort of education hub, and you can, you know, catch up with your friends each fortnight or each month for 6 or 8 times and lay your financial foundations. And we also have a big following from the country, being me as a country gal. And so we've just launching and just piloting at the moment an online program. So we call it the 6-step challenge, and it runs over 6 weeks. And each week you can tune into a different webinar, and then again you get posted out a workbook and an expander file to start, you know, filing all your different documents. And if you sign up on the website, you'll be able to just have access to free resources and be able to chat with other like minds. And I think that when you meet other like minds, you're like, oh, I'm not the only one. And there's this real sense of relief and confidence that's built from, you know, not feeling isolated in your situation.
Zoe, are there any faces that stand out above all others when it comes to the power of financial literacy and confidence?
There are some really sort of tangible financial things, but there are also some really sort of heartwarming stories come through. Like, I never forget this girl that had been to a workshop in a country town, and she wrote about a year later and just said, thank you so much. I was in a relationship that you know, was quite abusive, and the reason I wasn't comfortable leaving was financially, but that workshop helped me get my finance together and gave me the confidence to leave that relationship. So I think that finance is a bit of a chicken and egg thing in family dynamics and in relationships and in with people's self-esteem. And if you can get your finances together, often your confidence and ability to operate more resourcefully and successfully in other areas of your life is impacted as well, which is extremely humbling and inspiring.
Zoe, clearly you're a woman of many passions and you are a real driving force, but your workload actually nearly burnt you out along the way, didn't it?
Yes. So we went through a couple of years where we were literally going to, you know, Alice Springs one weekend and Perth one weekend and Wagga one weekend. And this is, a love project for me that spiraled sort of my life out of control a bit. And I laugh now in hindsight, now that I've got my ducks lined up again. But I really did get so excited, and that I nearly ran myself out of steam. And so one of the really important things that I did in that phase is surround myself by people who could do things better than me, and by people who were also passionate but that could, you know, take on some of the responsibility of the decision-making as the organisation grew. And I managed to put together this really fabulous board of quite extraordinary women, and we now have, you know, a good little team, often young mothers who are, you know, able to work from their homes and have that flexibility. And so I definitely learned some lessons along the way, but it's only now strengthened my my, I suppose, drive of how important this is, because I've also experienced being, you know, having my time and resources pulled out from under my feet and realizing, ooh, you know, there's a few things here I'm not even practicing what I preach. And so I very quickly got my ducks back in the line, and I learned great lessons from that, actually.